Vishnu Varathan is our guest, head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank. So, you know, it's never really clear. They don't hold up a sign that says, yeah, it's great to get aggressive here, Vishnu. And I know that some people are looking at central banks beginning the process of backing off of the aggressive nature of rate hikes. But then I also heard that people said you can't read too much into the RBA decision. They don't have anywhere near the level of inflation the U.S. does. They started earlier and such. And the Bank of England, well, the story there in the U.K. is a very idiosyncratic, singular country story. How do you see things?
That's a really good question, and I think depending on who you ask, the view will differ substantially. So I think the starting point is even the Fed, has not stayed contrary to the fact that they are looking at some point when they can dial back on the pace of hikes. But I think the message that the Fed has stressed is higher for longer, and they're serious about both aspects of it. The RBA may not differ very much, but I think the RBA has factored into a higher degree housing market risks in particular. And that is the interesting aspect, because one thought behind it is, yes, the Fed is not undeterred, or nor is it swayed by some softening in other corners, for, as you rightly pointed out, due to peculiar factors. But the question for all of us is, housing markets and wider asset markets, when do they come into the front and center of policymaking, rather than just inflation dominating center stage? Because if it does, then we need to think of balance sheet recession risks, and the Fed may and any central bank may be a lot more averse to tightening in that case.
So it does beg the question, where is the neutral rate for the Fed? When does it start to slow the pace of increases?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I'm really watching what Fed Bullard is saying very closely, because I think the message from everyone else has consistently been 2 to 2.5 is about neutral rate. They're now moving into restrictive territory, and they just need to get quite a bit into there, which is why they're all hovering around 4.5 to 5, perhaps, as the peak rates or where it terminates. However, yeah. Bullard has at some point suggested that, you know, neutral rates may be higher than the 2 to 2.5. If he manages to sway the rest of the board, then I think we may look at potential for rates to go above 5. And I think that's something we should watch very closely.
And Vishnu, we've been discussing the likely path ahead for the Fed. We did get that smaller than expected rate increase from the Reserve Bank of Australia, as I mentioned, and that's really gave a strong boost to equities here. I saw yields plunge as well. Big rally on markets worldwide, really. What are the market expectations around rate expectations, and are they going to be disappointed by what the Fed does next?
In terms of disappointment, I'm not sure that the markets will necessarily be disappointed, because for all the cheer that they have gleaned off, whether it's the JOLTS data or the ISM manufacturing, the OIS curves have not moved back dramatically from suggesting, somewhere in the ballpark of 100 to 125 basis points of hikes by late this year, early next year. And I think the Fed is pretty much on the program with that. Whereas I think what markets will be watching out for very closely would be suggestions of how much further they can go. And I think some of that revelation might come through in December. So the November hike would give a sense of whether we are scaling back from 75 or not. That would be quite important, because it's difficult to envisage going from 75 to 25 within the span of a month from November to December. But from December onwards, I think we'll get a clearer view of where we're going for the year, and whether indeed we'll peak out with the Fed halting or pausing in say, by May latest. And I think that's really what markets are wondering.
I think many think that the Fed will pause in December, and as you suggest, take a look at it. I mean, I've heard people predicting this really even back into the summer. So it almost doesn't matter, does it, if you get 75-50 or 75-25 or 50, any combination of those. It's just really that's only 2 months away. And people who are starting to think, well, you know, this is a process, it will depend on the data. I can watch the data and have a reasonable assumption of what we can expect.
I think the watching the data to get a sense of how much more the hikes would be incoming would be perhaps the less difficult task. The more difficult task, mainly because of the rewiring around how the Fed thinks, would be how long they would continue to maintain rates at elevated levels, even as inflation decelerates. So I think that's the tricky part.
We do have an OPEC Plus meeting later on today. Maybe we're looking at a 2 million barrel a day cut. So what's the impact of that going to be on global growth?
I think ultimately it's going to be pretty bad because, it naturally dampens the level of activity just because of the drain that high oil prices cause. And the other one is it gives central banks fewer reasons to step back from the global tightening wave that we see now, and we'll end up in a recession that crashes oil prices even more than the OPEC Plus is trying to support it for the time being. But, just for now. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, we don't have much time left. I wanted to mention New Zealand because we talk about high prices, curing high prices. New Zealand home prices just suffered their biggest quarterly drop, or one of their biggest quarterly drops on record, in the 3 months through September. And that could be happening in the U.S. as well.
Absolutely. I think housing market risks are something that we've underaccounted for, depending on how the percentage of mortgages that are locked into fixed rates and when these will phase out, I think will give us a sense of a lagged payback from over-tightening and the proverbial monetary lags. But for now, it looks like many central banks are not backing down from the single-minded inflation fight. So I think for a change in the narrative, we need to wait till perhaps middle of next year.
Yeah, and the Kiwi dollar very weak at the moment as well, 57.34, not really helping with the inflation picture there. Vishnu Varathan, thanks so much for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. Vishnu is Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank.